You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And people who inflict that upon themselves, they don't love themselves. See, if you love yourself, you won't eat shrimp and lobster and crab. And I know you're sitting there saying, well, Pastor, you just said you want some bacon. Well, you didn't get the memo. Bacon has been removed from the list. I went on a fast and God said, son, ask me for whatever you will. I said, Father, I need you to legalize bacon. And I knew his presence was there. And I said, here you are. Just smell it, I said. That's all you got to do is smell it. I said, it's Oscar Mayer center cut. Just smell it. He said, oh, okay, son. He said, what do you put with that? I said, eggs and grits. And if it's done right, you crinkle it up the bacon and put it in the grits. I don't like my food to touch, but when it comes to bacon and grits, they can make love. He said, I got a lot to tell you in verse 11. He said about Melchizedek. That's a whole different study. That's a Wednesday night study because it needs interaction. He said, but I have a lot to say to you, and it's hard to be shared because you're dull of hearing. That doesn't mean you're rebellious. It means that you can't understand the significance of Melchizedek and Jesus. And then he says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, listen carefully, you still need somebody to teach you. In other words, you're stuck. You haven't moved forward because you're comfortable. I'm saved. That's all that matters. Come on. That's like saying I'm 18 and I don't have a job. Then what should you do? Now, parents who support their children into adulthood are not giving them any benefit. There's a difference between help and support. Help is, I got a temporary breakdown here. Can you help me? Yeah, and give it back. You write up a note at 1% interest. Why? Because that's the real world. But we have people who have settled in to folks doing stuff for them. And especially when we get a little physical, you know, condition. You know, I can't walk right. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Now the whole church got to support you. We have disabled vets who have lost their legs from the knee down. They're working and doing things. It's a mindset that we've developed as a people that folks have to take care of us. It was started under the Johnson administration. After President Kennedy died, he declared war on poverty. But what you didn't know if you lived during that time was he also declared war on the inner city family. Because the programs that they were giving to the woman could only be given if there were no man in the house. That meant that if you had some man there, the father of those children, he had to leave in order for you to get your food stamps. So then it became, the thought was, wow, I make more money without you. So just keep getting me pregnant, move away, and the government take care of me. Now, that has not left. So when somebody threatens to cut that off, we demonize them. Well, that's the devil trying to take away my benefits. The Bible says for the believer, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And God's benefit is that the father should be living with those kids. And God's benefit is that a man that has children should never have to go to court in order to provide for them. You can't be a Christian and owe back child support and act like it's okay. You can't just buy her a pair of sneakers once a month and say, I'm taking care of her. No, it's an everyday thing. You get her some certificates for different things, and you give her those pre-loaded cards every week. Here you are, every week. Every week, here you go. Amen. Oh, the amens died off. So he says, you have come to the point where God wants to flow through you, where your experience becomes beneficial to somebody else. Verse 12, he said, but you've gone back into the first principles. We don't think we've had church until the pastor tunes up. And I go out to preach, and sometimes those churches, the organists, they have a tendency to want to get on the organ. And sometimes I remember when Marty would be with me and we would go, and he would go over and tell the organist, don't do that. The organist would kind of get offended. Because I don't need the organ. The truth of God doesn't need a melodious application. It's truth. Do you need an organ playing when you go to cash a check? No, all you need is the money in the bank. Well, the truth that you are receiving, he said, for everyone that uses milk. And what is milk? Milk are those basic functional teachings from the Word of God. And we've been in them long enough. See, milk says, come to church with me. And someone says, oh, well, I'm sick. And he said, well, come on in. My pastor prays for the sick. That's milk. Amen. Meat is, come go to church with me. They say, I'm sick. In the name of Jesus, heal them. Now come go to church with me. See, milk is the power only rests in the pulpit. Meat is the power's with me. You understand that feeding you makes you able to do what I do. People become offended when the pastor doesn't pray for them. Well, who do you care? Who? If you trust me as the leader, I'm not going to let just anybody pray for you. The only people that are released to pray for you are those who share my anointing. And if they share my anointing, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, not the personality of Lambert. You've been here long enough. Time to get healed. It's time to get healed right in your seat. Time to believe that the hand of God is right there with you. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful, for he's a babe. I wanted to make a cake one day, so I called Sister Lambert, and I said, I want to get this cake. And she gave me some basic instruction, but she didn't know when I was going to bake it. Build it is right. And she didn't know when I was going to bake it, so she was telling me, you know, no. And I can't find a thing in my kitchen, so I have to call, where's this pan? Where's that pan? Where's this pan? So I'm going to surprise her, and I'm going to make this cake. So I go around to the Acme, and I ain't ready for a one from scratch, because if I did, I'd be scratching. So I said, no, I'm going to make one from the box. So I go out there and I get it. And there's a woman standing there in the aisle, and I'm asking her all kinds of questions. What kind do I have to get? What do I have to do? You know, because I'm going to surprise her. So I go, okay, I get the stuff, and then I buy new 9-inch cake pans. Now, we got them somewhere in the house. But you know, if I can't find it, I don't want to tip my hand, so I go buy new ones. Thank God for Bed Bath & Beyond. So I just go and I bring them home, and I'm starting to remember now. I wait till she leaves, and I'm going to make the cake. So I take both boxes. Where were you, Robin? You're lucky I ain't had your phone number. I took both boxes and put them in the thing. And then I had this real big batter. Because I'm a Christian and I believe in abundance. And so I took these 9-inch pans and I didn't realize about the swelling. So I put it all the way up to about 1/4 inch from the top. And I put them in the oven and went and sat down and watched MASH. I figured MASH would be my timer. All of a sudden, my oven said, hey! I went back, and it was like the blessing of God of Deuteronomy 28. It had swollen and rolled over the Jordan. Oh, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I grabbed them and pulled them out. They didn't shrink. So I took a knife and cut off the top just so it could be even with the pan. And then I flipped them over. I had greased it up really good. So I flip pop, it came right out. So now I got this cake that I'm making, a layer of cake. It has no crust on the top. I reached up in the cabinet and I had purchased icing. Now the Bible says love covers a multitude of faults. So does icing. I iced that bad boy up. I iced it up like I was on Chopped. Then I put it aside. It looked horrible. Even the icing couldn't cover it. I used the whole container. She came in, she smelled it. What'd you make? Cake. Where is it? Over there. That woman cut that cake, sliced it up, sat down, ate it, and said, it's good. That's how God is. We do our best, we mess up. He still says, I love you. I'm not putting you down because your cake is messed up. Now what did you do? You learned. So the next cake I make, and that ain't gonna be for a while. The next one I make is coming from a bakery. And I'm gonna lie and put my name right on it. Hey! But what is the point? We try what we try. We innovate. We try because we're stuck. We listen to everybody else. And God still loves us. Don't you think he knows that we're going to mess up? Don't you know God knows we're imperfect and he anoints us anyway? He calls us anyway. He says, go ahead, be imperfect. Mess up the cake. I'll eat your cake. I'll take your praise. I'll take your worship. But at least try. Oh, Jesus. Change isn't easy. It hurts. It hurts. He said in chapter 6, he said, let's leave those principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's go on to perfection. Come on, tell somebody, let's go to perfection. Now, what does perfection mean from the Bible? It doesn't mean the absence of sin. It doesn't mean you're perfect. What it means is maturity. How long are you going, like now, when I was a young man driving, somebody pulled up alongside of me and revved the engine, I'd rev mine. Shoot, come on now. You want to get down? Get down. Now when they pull up alongside of me, I put it in park. Go ahead. I'm not crashing my car just to keep up with your foolishness. See, going on to maturity means that things that used to upset you don't upset you anymore. Pastor, the leader didn't speak to me. Okay, that's baby talk. Now if the leader don't speak, what do you care? What do you care? People hold the door. People walk out the door, they don't hold it for you anymore. You don't get upset. You just do what I do. Say thank you. At some point in our lives, we ought to evolve. Because we've been in immaturity long enough. I just don't like something. Listen, if the world ran on what I didn't like, things would be a lot different. But what I have to do is learn to accept the fact that God is not in the business of doing what I like. He's in the business of fulfilling his will. And being uncomfortable doesn't mean that you've sinned. It means that you are evolving. I'm going to conclude this for this week. In 2 Kings chapter 7. And in verse 1 of 2 Kings 7, Elisha says, tomorrow the famine will be over. Every move of God starts with verbal instruction. Tomorrow the famine will be over, and you will be able to buy bread and flour and everything you need for a very cheap price, which means there will be such an abundance And I'm telling you now prophetically that the move of God is about to explode in your life if you are willing to move to a different location in the spirit. At what point do you have enough of being where you are? My God. Then he says in verse 2, there was a certain man who answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, this thing may come to pass. And Elisha says, okay, but you're going to see it. You ain't getting none. In other words, there's always an Amorite who is going to speak negatively to you when you leave this church today. Yeah, I heard Pastor Lambert, but you know what? He don't know everything. I never profess to know everything. I know what I know. And I know that the righteous have never been forsaken. And I know that God's seed have never begged bread. Listen, if you are a parent or you have any responsibility for anyone, you know that you're going to do whatever you have to do to make sure they eat. If they tell you, I don't have any money for food, you're going to say, come go with me. Let's go shopping. And if we being evil know how to do good things for ours, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you? My godson said that to me one day. I said, boy, I ain't giving you a dime. He looked at me and said, now you know that's not true. He said, there's no way you're going to let me walk away from you and not have no money in my pocket. I had to laugh, but I turned my head. And that's how it should be with us and God. Lord, you're not going to let me go under. You might let me get close, but the devil is never going to have victory over me. How many of you here today feel like Job? I do. But read the end of the book. Here is the theme. Now, theologically, the theme of Job is even if you do nothing wrong, you go through. But realistically, the theme of Job is God will always show up. And there has never been a time when God has shown up that you are left in the same condition you were in when he showed up. God came down and Job had double of everything he lost. I'm not looking for double. I just want even. See, I make a deal with God. God, listen, you do not have to give me double. Just show up. And that's the theme. God will show up. So even if you're a Job with me today, if you're a Job, we have hope. God is not going to leave you out there. Now, he may have allowed the devil to come in and mess some stuff up, but guess what, baby? We coming out. And see, this is how you prepare to come out. You start changing your mindset because you don't want to bring that same old mindset into new blessing. Glory to God. We go to Disney World. When we go down there, and you could be frustrated, and I'm frustrated a lot when I go because, you know, the pressures and things of ministry can kind of frustrate you. And so you know when it's time to go. And when you go, you know, you fly. When you go to the Philadelphia airport, you're more frustrated, and you're more frustrated. And then you get on the plane, and there's still a part of you that says, boy, something here, it might not take off. And then you feel good when it takes off, and you have a little bit of frustration while you're flying, and you hit turbulence after. But when they say, we are now descending into the Orlando airport, all the frustration is gone. And when it hits the runway, you're like, woo, you start singing, it's a small world after all. Then you get off and the air is different and the mindset of the people. You can always tell those who are coming and those who are going back home. Because the ones that are going back home, they get angry again. Get over here, sit down, get over here. And the kids become antsy. They've been perfect model citizens for 7 days. Now all of a sudden they're doing everything wrong. Why? Because they're going back to the burden. And see, here's what happens when you're in church. Your spirit is lifted. The preaching is good. It's jovial. The Spirit of God makes us laugh. You feel lighthearted. Then you walk out of here and somebody scratched your car. Now you're mad again, and you're biting your tongue so you don't say ungodly words. Then you go down the street to eat, and you just want comfort food, and you eat till you can't get out the chair. And then you know tonight is communion night, and you don't want to come back, but you fear that if you don't come back, something bad is going to happen to you, and you should never let fear be the motivator to take communion. You should take it because you love him. And we slip back into those old mindsets. Oh, it's not going to happen. God is not going to do anything. But I'm here to tell you he is. And you better prepare yourself for it. Get yourself together. That's right. Get your body healthy because we're going on a journey. Get your mind together. The things of old are not going to impede the things that are new. It is no longer by the flesh, but it is the spirit. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you've got to be able to stop letting those old habits and those old relationships keep you from having a great walk with God. It is time to break free from bondage. And Elisha says, this is going to happen. The man of God said the blessing was coming. Say that to yourself. But now watch God. See, listen, now the longer you walk with God, the more you see how unorthodox he is. Now, he wants to give them a blessing because he cannot let his prophet be a liar. So here's what he does. In verse 3, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why should we sit here till we die? What a provocative statement.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go Into My Blessing, or the program number 07419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon continues Saturday, September 21st, at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. The pastors will continue to explore how to craft your sermon, biblical exegesis, and professionalism in ministry. These informative sessions will equip you to walk in your call to ministry and handle the Word of God with care. If you've been chosen for ministry or desire to work in ministry, you will want to be a part of this next session. It's The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon on Saturday, September 21st, 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Register now by calling 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. A strong church consists of strong families with fortified marriages. Cultural influences have infiltrated our homes, our families, and our marriages. It's time to stand our ground and fight for our families. Come and learn how to apply godly principles that reveal the enemy's tactics and help you to bring glory to God in your marriage. All married couples are invited to Ask Bishop Lambert for Married Couples, Friday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, Pennsylvania. Receive a biblical understanding about marriage during this intimate gathering. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit BethelDeliverance.org. Let's gather together for this special session to discover how to build our marriages and our homes. We'll see you there.